Welcome to the final episode of Season 2 for Luxury News Weekly. We've made it this far, and we're going to leave with a bang. Okay, today we've got exciting stories, starting with Fashion Nova CEO scooping up the one mansion at a bankruptcy auction. Tiffany & Co. is doubling down on Blackpink's Rosé. A$AP Rocky drops a Mercedes-Benz collaboration. Salvador Ferragamo appoints a new creative director, and Porsche is bringing a Pixar's car character to life.
Welcome to Luxury News Weekly, your number one source for luxury news. I'm your host, Simba Wakatama.
And I'm your host, Elizabeth Solaru.
Fashion Nova CEO Richard Segyan is the mystery buyer who snapped up the One Mansion. Now, if you don't know the One Mansion, you really need to listen to the episode where we spoke about this mansion. That would have been Season 2, Episode 5, How to Lose $500 Million. Okay, this is a follow-up story. Long and short, this mansion was at one point the most expensive property, private property, in LA. It was going for $250 million. It was going for $500 million, and it didn't sell. And in fact, the owner of the mansion, the developer, he had to file bankruptcy for his company, and then this mansion went on auction. Okay, and so the Fashion Nova CEO Richard, he scooped it up for a calm $141 million, well under the asking price, well under. And to just give you a little bit about this mansion, it includes 5 swimming pools, an in-house movie theater, a bowling alley, 400,000 square foot guest home, just the guest home alone, a beauty salon, 21 bedrooms and 42 bathrooms to name a few. Wow. Elizabeth, what do you think about this?
Well, we kind of knew that the property wouldn't have made the $500 million asking price anyway. But I think that Richard got this at a steal for $141 million. And I also think that the fact that there's a war in Ukraine and there's a lot of anti-Russian sentiment probably deterred a lot of Russian billionaire buyers from taking part in this auction. And another lesson here is that the guy, the developer, I think his name is Niami, his ego was probably out of control because he kept building and building and building, taking out loan upon loan, and he didn't know when to stop. According to the reports, the auction had only 5 bidders from the US and from New Zealand. So Richards was probably the best out of the 5. And also remember that the auctioneers, they made $15 million from this. So all in all, everyone seemed to have walked away with an amazing deal, except for the developer. And this is a huge, huge, huge lesson that it doesn't matter how big your vision is. You need to know when to stop, especially when it's being funded with other people's money. Fashion Nova, I mean, that brand is, I think that warrants a massive book in itself on how, you know, Richard built the brand, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not surprised at all that he was able to pony up the money for this. So what do you think?
I think he's laughing right now because this is like one of the best buys. This at $500 million, this was a stupid pricing, right? Like, sorry, the pricing itself didn't make sense at $500 million. It seemed a bit outrageous. But now, at the price he bought it for, he got it cheap, right? Because I reckon the true value of this place it was somewhere in between what Richard bought it for and what it was listed for, right? And Richard got such a steal because even at auction, they already had halved the selling price to $295 million. That was the asking, right? So close to half. But he paid half of that.
Exactly. Exactly. And it just goes to show, because I know in business, I remember this first day of MBA class many, many years ago, I was told that cash is king. Cash is king. This guy was able to pony up and he came in at the right time. And even the conditions were perfect for him, because if there were only five bidders, I suspect that it wasn't a bidding war of any sorts. It wasn't as if all five of them were absolutely desperate to get their hands on the property. I suspect that they bid just so they can buy and hold and then resell later on when conditions are right. And the fact that the Russians were kept away because of anti-Russian sentiment, because of the Ukraine war, again, perfect storm for him.
Absolutely. And this actually makes a great office space for a company like Fashion Nova, because, again, this place was built to be somewhat event space. It has a full nightclub in there. Let's not forget. An actual nightclub with men's bathrooms, women's bathrooms, bars, everything. So for a company like Fashion Nova, which is influencer-centered, to have the biggest property, one of the biggest properties in LA, and certainly one of the most expensive properties in LA, this is a perfect brand move for a Fashion Nova, right? So I definitely see this purchase more as a brand move than a personal, I want to live in this place, because Richard already owns several properties in the area. He doesn't need more, right? And as far as an investment goes, I don't think he's necessarily thinking, I can sell this for much more than I bought it for. So I want to see what he does with this space, right? That's what I'm curious about.
I think you've already hinted, because it makes absolute perfect sense for the property to be used as the location for a number of shoots, a number of influencer-led parties, a number of maybe influencer-led promotions, branding, etc. The sky's the limit with the kind of thing you can do with that property. And you also said about it could potentially be offices for his staff. I can't even, such a property, probably, I don't know. Let's think about the Google campus. Let's think about the Facebook campus. I'm thinking this could be a fashion campus. Who knows? You could have your,
and oh, yeah.
You could do lots of reality TV shows. You can do fashion shows. The use for this property is absolutely endless. So yes, you're absolutely right. Let's wait and see what he's going to do with this property.
Well, at 105,000 square feet, it has the space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just think the guy was so lucky, because the buyer, we've said in our previous episode, when we spoke about this property, we knew that the buyer pool for this property would be very, very small. And he was just so lucky that Russia happens to be taken out of the picture of the run-in, and he just walked in at the right time. And I just feel sorry for, you know, Sagan. I just feel sorry for him, because I know that he has entered Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and I think he owes around $180 million in unsecured and secured debt. And from what I understand, the figure's actually gone up to $256 million. So, because more creditors have been filing claims. So, I don't know.
It's a tough one. I think he needs to, if he can get someone to give him money, he needs to go back to developing homes in that tens of millions range, where he was selling them just fine, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes you need to know your strengths, and sometimes you also suffer from what I call the Peter principle. That is, you'll get promoted to the highest position of your incompetence. So I don't think he called this right. He didn't call this right at all. And I hope he really does get out of debt. I hope he goes back to doing what he does best.
Yes, all the best, Niami. All the best. Now, we are going to talk about someone who is becoming a Luxury News Weekly favorite around here, Blackpink's Rosé. Now, I love Tiffany & Co., okay? I buy it for my sister, for my mom. They love it too. It's kind of like one of the family brands, all right? So I was very intrigued the first time that Tiffany & Co. decided to use Rosé as one of their brand ambassadors, and not just a generic brand ambassador, but for specifically their line of jewelry called Hardware. So when they did, this was back in, I think, 2021, when they used her as the influencer for Hardware, not long after, their sales doubled, and it propelled Hardware into being from this kind of sub-brand, right, or sub-collection to one of Tiffany & Co.'s main collections. So you have Rosé to thank for that. Now, they went from using her as an ambassador to partnering with her as a 10-year partner for Tiffany & Co., a true representative, okay, not just some influencer. So they're doubling down on a new campaign for Hardware, which, again, Hardware is supposed to be this kind of edgy, feminine jewelry line, which exemplifies strength, grit, femininity, kind of the girl boss, term. And Rosé kind of encompasses that. So I'm happy to see it. And they're going to be releasing this campaign again for the second time with, of course, redesigned jewelry lines and whatnot. I like the jewelry personally. What do you think about this, Elizabeth?
I think it's so good to see Tiffany & Co. getting something right. Again, like yourself, I absolutely love the brand. One of my favorite designers, jewelry designers of that brand, Elsa Peretti. She did gorgeous, gorgeous, amazing stuff. I love the fact that Tiffany are now finally getting back to what they do best, i.e. doing a campaign around their gorgeous jewelry. I love that even if you look at the images advertising, you know, shot for this particular campaign advertising the Hardware, we're talking about very, very clean, minimalist, no floofy, fancy, whatever. Blackpink Rosé, she's wearing black. She's got the jewelry on, beautifully minimalist. The Hardware, the jewelry itself, very, very lovely. In some of them, the links are actually black, which is a great nod to Blackpink. Also, when you look at the rose gold jewelry that they've used, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And if I were Tiffany, I would actually do more with the rose gold because they've done quite a bit with silver and they've done a bit with gold itself and obviously diamonds, etc. But it would be lovely for them. If I were them, I would actually create or find a different shade of rose gold or rosé or whatever. Maybe make it more pink, who knows, and create something, a new metal of sorts in honor of their new star. Because at the end of the day, all these campaigns is to do one job, and that is to get the sales. And she is driving those sales. So whatever they do for her, they should just keep it clean, minimal, light, fresh, feminine, and fierce like she is, because she is putting money in their till. And that is the most important thing.
Absolutely. And this collection actually is quite vast, and it's ranging from prices of $500 all the way to $62,000. So if you are a hardcore, you know, Rosé fan or Blackpink fan, then there's something for you in here. And I like the motifs of these, you know, these chains. But it's a, I'm trying to remember where I've seen these, this style chain before. I think it had something to do with sailing. But I love the hardware here. And, you know, some of these pieces, even men could wear, actually. They can be quite unisex.
Oh, but, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think absolutely. You're spot on about the rosé slash make a new rose gold color. Because I feel like for this collection, they've got a lot of course, silver is the staple for Tiffany & Co. That's their, I would say their base metal, that's what they use all the time is silver, right? And they use pearls, a combination of pearls and diamonds, of course. And then they've got hints of rose gold for a lot, for some of the more popular pieces. But yes, because rosé is the ambassador, it would be nice to see, like you're saying, a particular, maybe even a piece that only comes in rose gold, and that's the staple piece, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And another thing I would also say for Tiffany is they could actually do maybe an NFT around that metal as well. Not because NFTs are popular, but because if they create a new kind of metal, they could be the first to put that on the blockchain. And it'll be there forever to sort of like immortalize this collaboration between them and Blackpink Rosé. So again, Tiffany, reach out to us. We've got so many ideas for you, and we love that you're doing so well. At last, Tiffany, at last.
Happy to see this. Happy to see Tiffany go back into this direction. It's amazing. Okay, well, another interesting collaboration. We have ASAP Rocky collabing with Mercedes-Benz to produce a 90s hip-hop fashion line. Okay, these it's more of a collection of unisex, you know, I would say articles of clothing, because there's like hoodies, pants. He's wearing grills, Mercedes-Benz grills, which I don't think those are for sale. But I think they have belts as well and all kinds of things. I gloves, I think I saw somewhere, but I'm not too sure. Bags, hats, for sure. And they all have the Mercedes-Benz logo, but they're in very much an ASAP Rocky style of streetwear. And that's in collaboration, really, with ASAP Rocky's brand. Okay, because he has a fashion, well, actually, it's more like a collective. AWGE is the name of his creative company. And they actually produce a lot of the music videos. So most of his music videos are his productions by his company. I like it, personally. People may not know this, but ASAP Rocky has been a long-time ambassador for Mercedes-Benz. That's why in a lot of his music videos, you will see a Mercedes-Benz. But this is, I think, a step forward where he's bringing the Mercedes-Benz, which is, of course, an iconic car company, into the fashion world and the streetwear world in a meaningful way, because he is one of the foremost largest male celebrities or male influencers in this space. Yeah, Elizabeth, what do you think about this?
Well, I'm going to surprise myself and say I actually like this collaboration. I'd never wear grills, but I actually like the grill as well, because it was actually nice, because for the first time you can actually see the proper writing on the grill, and you can see the Mercedes logo as well. So you can tell that this collection was very thoughtfully done. I love when you have a fashion collection that is very well considered. And it wasn't just a matter of slapping Mercedes logos on everything. It was the way it was done, the positioning, that the way it was drawn on, so that you don't have the same looking logo slapped on every bit of fabric, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of the Ferrari fashion show that, again, surprisingly very well done. Although the Ferrari one, I thought that was beyond, that was extremely well done.
This is actually high fashion.
That was high fashion. This is streetwear, but it's still nicely done. And another thing that I like is that they've not taken to putting awful graffiti or anything like that on actual Mercedes Benzes. They didn't do what's the company called? The one with the crosses.
Chrome Hearts.
Hearts. Oh my God. That was, in my view, and I could be wrong. I mean, I don't want to say an abomination, but
you're right.
Yeah, that was not well done. But this, with regards to the fashion, the use of the Mercedes-Benz logo, nicely done. I was pleasantly surprised. I love a celebrity collaboration where it makes sense. And even the photographs, beautifully done, clean, not crowded or anything like that. You know it's Mercedes, you know it's ASAP Rocky, and there it is. You know, got good, clean collaboration. I love it. I actually surprised myself by saying I love it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I, for one, like yourself, do not like wearing brand prints. I absolutely hate it. I'm not a billboard. I don't want to feel like I'm a billboard, right? So I don't like wearing giant logos and whatnot. But the nice thing about this collection is because it's a car company and then the fashion portion was done so well, I don't feel like I want to wear it, you know? I want to wear this brand. And I love the color palette, especially the white tracksuit with the neon green and neon with the green and neon yellow Mercedes logo on there. I absolutely love it. It looks super cozy. I would wear a lot of this stuff around the house, you know?
Absolutely. And I've just discovered a little fact that ASAP Rocky was actually named after the rapper Rakim.
Yes.
There was a rapper. I remember that rapper. He did a collaboration with, I can't remember the name of the lady. I absolutely was obsessed with the song. This was like, gosh, probably 20 years ago. And I didn't realize that ASAP Rocky is actually named after that particular rapper. So there we have it.
Born to be in this life, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Born to be famous. Exactly.
Yeah, so definitely check this out on Instagram. Check out ASAP Rocky's page. It has a couple of the videos, and you can see where they got the inspiration from the old Mercedes Benzes to the new concept car as well. And they drew it, they brought it all together. It's quite nice, and you can kind of see the vision behind it. And of course, if you go onto the website, WGE website, which is actually quite fun. You can, go through their digital experience and find that. Let me actually find how much these things are going to cost. Okay, so the Mercedes-Benz hoodie is $160, and that seems to be the average for the hoodies. You can get a cap for $75. You can get a tee for $60. You know, I'm probably going to buy one of these things, not going to lie. I'm looking at this stuff and I just want to have it, you know? I just want to have this. Yeah, awesome. All right, so thank you, ASAP.
We are interrupting this episode to tell you a little bit about the people behind Luxury News Weekly. I'm your host, Simbo Wakatama, the founder and CEO of Volo Bespoke. We personalize jewelry storage for the jewelry you wear. Find me on Instagram or LinkedIn at Simba Wagatama.
I'm Elizabeth Solaru, founder and CEO of Luxury Business Emporium and Elizabeth's Cake Emporium. You can find me on LinkedIn as Elizabeth Solaru or on Instagram as Luxury Business Emporium.
Moving on, we have Salvador Ferragamo. They announced a new creative director, none other than Maximilian Davis. Now, Maximilian, and we'll just call him Max from now on. Sorry, Maximilian. I don't know if you like being called Max or not, but, you know, I'm going to twist my tongue if I keep saying your name back to back. I actually like that name, Maximilian. Anyways, Salvador Ferragamo announced Max as their creative director, which is come to it. It came as a bit of a surprise, but not an absolute surprise, because this young designer was actually we would know him as one of the finalists, semi-finalists in the LVMH prize, and he has been one of the top designers to look for, to watch out for in London. So this is a cool appointment, because he's still a young designer, so they're getting him while he's fresh. He's also proven himself with a creative capacity. Of course, not at the scale and the scope of Ferragamo, but still, the creativity is there. What do you think about this, Elizabeth?
I think it's a bit of a gamble for Salvatore Ferragamo. I think it's a gamble, but I think he already has a good track record, because he's actually designed stuff for Kim Kardashian, Jordan Dunn, Dua Lipa, and Rihanna. And it kind of makes sense to appoint him, because he's young, he's fresh, he would bring a different look to the organization that sometimes I find some of their designs a bit staid. I don't want to use the word staid, but they've done a few classic stuff in the past, but they do need to up their game. And I think Maximilian has the energy, has the vision, and he's also very well connected with the celebrities and influencers that the Gen Zs and millennials relate to. And I think that he definitely will bring his unique sense of style to the organization. Obviously, there's a lot riding on his shoulders. He needs to make an impact, and he needs to be seen as a success very quickly. But I'm pretty sure that he can manage it.
Yeah, now Ferragamo is probably mainly known at this point in time by their belt buckles.
And shoes.
And shoes. From the men's side of things, they've definitely been asleep, you know. I don't think a single man would recognize anything but the belt buckle and maybe a loafer, right? And that's it. But as a fashion company, which is pretty big, we should be a little more invigorated. Like you said, I feel like they've been a bit stale, a bit safe.
Yeah.
It's not like their design sucks or anything like that. I think they're having a hard time communicating with the world, you know? And they're being drowned out by the Guccis, by the Balenciagas, by the whole lot, which now fashion-wise might be comparable, but, you know, from a marketing standpoint, it's apples and oranges. And I think they need Maximilian mostly for I think a change in how they communicate their brand, their style, their fashion. That's really what a creative director does. They don't just design clothes. They're in charge of the conversation around that brand. Okay, so I want to see how he's going to do that.
Yeah, but remember though that they are a heritage label and they're now trying to shift their strategy. And you and I, we've spoken about things like this before where it's about culture. They might appoint him, but are they ready and prepared to make that shift in mindset and have that shift in organizational culture? Because when you, he's this, you know, this young man is 26. He will be reaching out to celebrities, influencers, etc. Is the company going to turn up its nose and say, you know, we don't quite do things like that around here? Or are they just going to let him go for it? Because it reminds me, remember, we spoke about Bottega Veneta.
Yes.
About Bottega Veneta. They appointed someone. He did really, really well. But then there was a clash. Word on the street was there was clash in terms of working styles, of culture, etc. And he left and they've appointed somebody else after 3 years. So let's see how it goes with Maximilian, because we truly, truly, truly wish him the best. And I can't wait to see what he does.
The thing with him, though, that I think suits the brand well is that his design style is, I would say, that of a purist. So it kind of keeps itself in check. What I mean to say is that although his designs are a bit edgy, they are cool, they are different, they're futuristic, or, you know, they are kind of a mix of futuristic yet taking a bit of a hint from the past, from a disco era, let's say. They're not so crazy. They're not so out there. They're not the sagging pants by Balenciaga. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like he kind of speaks their language already, in terms of, I feel like he would deem going too far left, too far right as tacky, because it doesn't even suit his own style. But I think he can definitely blend a bit of what he does into Ferragamo's current offerings. Now, like we mentioned, you can't be alienating the actual customers, because let's be honest, Ferragamo is, like you said, a heritage brand, and their base customers are definitely going to be in the Middle Ages, for sure. Those are the loyal Ferragamo customers, okay? The younger people, we usually will go to Gucci, we'll usually go to, one of Louis Vuitton or something like that, right? He can bring us into that fold without alienating the current customer, I think. But again, like you said, are they willing? And it's going to be a balance, because he does not have the experience yet at this scale, so...
Oh, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right to reference the elegance that he brings to his work, and also the quality that he brings to his work. And I will just mention briefly as well that as a Black creative director, a young one at that, again, we are seeing true diversity in action, where he's been given the job because he is brilliant at what he does. He's very well respected, and I love to see it. So the D word here is the fact that he is dedicated and he is pretty, pretty decent at what he does. But we do like to see people of color in these very influential positions in the fashion industry and in the luxury industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, here's something you would have never thought was going to happen. But before we tell you about this story, check us out on Instagram. Check us out on TikTok if you enjoy our stories here, because we post there and we're going to keep you updated on there. So give us a good review as well while you're at it. All right. The next story we have is a strange, strange collaboration. I'm talking about Pixar and Porsche. Wow. Who would have thought that Porsche would collaborate with Pixar? Now, this actually makes a little bit of sense. All right, so you've probably watched the Pixar movie Cars. There was more than one. I think it was like Cars 1, Cars 2. Not going to lie, I haven't watched it. I've only seen clips of it, you know, how they play movies at the barbershop or something like that. So I'm not really familiar with the characters, but this movie was such a hit at the time that Porsche decided to take on one of the characters and actually make a car out of one of these characters. We're talking about the Sally Carrera from Cars. They're going to bring that car to life using the Porsche 911. And they're going to actually show the concept for the Sally as a limited car for the South by Southwest this year in 2022. So, yeah, what do you think about this, Elizabeth?
Well, I'm actually surprised that this hadn't happened before. I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea. And from, the animation cars, from what I remember and understand, Sally, this particular car, Sally Carrera, the character was actually in a relationship with the main character, Lightning McQueen, from what I understand, if that makes sense, if cars can have relationships. So I'm really, really pleased that this collaboration is actually going to happen. I love the fact that there could be a charity element to this, and the car is going to, when it's designed, it's going to be auctioned off by Sotheby's, and the winning bidder will receive this one-off timepiece reflecting the unique styling of the car. And it would, the car itself is going to feature many bespoke parts to create a special and unique addition to the project. So I think it's brilliant. I think obviously the auction can be in aid of charity, which I believe it is. It's specifically aimed to help children and supporting education programs for young girls in the US through Girls Incorporated and refugee families fleeing Ukraine, but predominantly for women and children. And I think that's brilliant because it carries through with the branding. So the car is meant to represent a woman, Sally Carrera, who's a lawyer for cars. And then, you know, a real car is going to be built, auctioned off, and the proceeds are definitely going to a charity that's going to help women and children fleeing from war-torn Ukraine. So I think it's brilliant in every way. And I would say well done to Pixar, well done to Porsche for thinking of this absolutely brilliant idea.
Absolutely. And shout out to Sotheby's. We need to have them back on the podcast. But shout out to them. I think Porsche hit the nail on the head with this one. This is exciting. This is something that is going to make a lot of waves. And you're hearing it first here. Because when it comes out at South by Southwest, which should be in a couple of months, this is definitely going to break the internet a little bit. I can see a lot of memes coming out of this.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, I can absolutely see this doing well. And I believe that they would probably make the car in blue. It's going to be in blue, which again, one of the colors on the Ukraine national flag. I would add a touch of yellow somewhere, just, you know, so the blue and yellow is completely represented. But I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think it's a great idea. And they're doing something without getting too political, but it's driving the message. Again, very on brand for Porsche, very on brand for Pixar, very on brand for Sotheby's.
Absolutely. Well, you heard it here first, folks. And these have been your top luxury news stories for the week. Now, as we said at the beginning, this is the last episode of season two. So thank you so much for sticking with us. I'm sure there are a couple of episodes you need to go back and listen to just for some context and so you understand the follow-up stories. So go ahead and do that. But until we come back for season three, keep up with us on Instagram, on TikTok. We're going to be posting on there, keeping you up to date with luxury news, beautiful pictures, inspiration, the whole nine yards, education as well. Watch the reels, watch the TikToks to learn a bit about luxury. And yeah, we're just going to keep you up to date that way until we come back with season three. How does that sound?
Fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to what we are going to do in season three. We've got a very exciting plans. I'm not going to spoil anything right now, but yes, I cannot wait. I am so, so, so excited. And I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who's listened to us, who have stuck by us, and who have written in to say how much they enjoy listening to this. This is something that we do from our hearts because we are lovers of luxury. We are lovers of the business of luxury. And we just love that space. So thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you so much. And till next time.